Last week, I started to talk about how, as a church, what I really believe right now is our journey as a church mirrors quite a lot of what happens in our lives as individuals. And I was making the point this morning, or last week, about... Sorry, let me just get that fixed. I was making the point last week that the really important thing whenever you start your journey is this. When you start it, don't look down. Okay? When you get to the middle of a journey, the important thing is that whenever you start something, God has promised that he will bring you through to the end. But the reason why many of us don't get through to the end is at some point in the journey, whether it's halfway through, it tends to look a little bit scary. So what we do is we start to look down. And whenever you start to look down, by default, your head is not looking up. You're not looking anywhere else. And when you look down, it looks very scary at times. You lose perspective. You lose a view, not only on where you've come from, but where you're actually going to. And as a church right now, we are in transition and on a journey. And there are days where it may feel scary, a bit like your life, where you go, actually, this is a wee bit scary today. You know, and if we're not careful, you know, what happens is we start to look down, we lose our perspective, and like the children of Israel, like I said last week, we then start to look backwards and go, well, it was all right back then. You know, back then, when in the good old days, I could live there and it was fine. And what the whole point is this, is that we need to have this incredible, incredible confidence that God, whenever he said in Philippians 1 verse 6, I am confident of this, that if he began a good work in me, he will carry it on to completion. That he who began a good work in me will carry it on to completion. How confident are you this morning in your life that if God started you on a journey, he's going to see you through? Are you at some point in your journey going, oh, well, I'm not really sure, and oh, I don't really know how I feel, and da, da, da. You know, that's okay, but the reason that we do church here and the reason why we're here is that we have an incredible purpose. I said last week that the whole purpose of keeping going is because we want to see people transformed in this city, in this nation, and around the world from the inside out by the grace and the love of God. We want to create not just an expression of church family, but a community that introduces people wholeheartedly, unashamedly, 100% to a message that God is good all the time, God is for them all the time, and that if you will allow the love of God and the grace of God to transform you from the inside out, you will live more for God accidentally than you will ever try to do on purpose under law. That's the message of grace. Romans 2:4 says this, never despise the riches of God's goodness. Don't despise it. Don't despair. Despise his forbearance and his long suffering, not knowing that it is the goodness of God that leads to change. That's what that means. If you want to change in your life, and this is what, I don't know why you come to church or why you follow God for whatever reason. My heart is this. This community, this church, Exchange Church Belfast, is all about seeing people change through love and grace. Because God knows, and we know, that law and condemnation and guilt and scaring people out of hell into heaven might get them saved, but it will never transform them and change them. I am all for hell is real, people, and people are going to hell, and we need to be careful that we don't kind of airbrush out bits of the Bible that are a little bit inconvenient, because we will never really understand the depths of God's grace until we understand what we've been saved from. But once we are saved, what you want to save people into, Exchange Church on this journey can't bear and can't afford to look down and miss the purpose for which God has called us to. Because I know that there's nothing else will change men and women out there other than God's love and grace. Yeah? So that's last week. In a potted, because I wanna kind of expand on that a little bit today. And I want to tell you a story. Actually, I didn't think I was gonna make it this morning. We had a very traumatic Friday night, and I might not get through this without breaking down. But for those of you who know, I'm an Ulster rugby fan. And now listen, bear with me. And hold on, I'm only joking. So here's the point. Friday night, I go to the rugby with my brother and Cardiff Blues, last match of the Rabo. And I had my tea, and I was sitting down, and we had family tea, and my brother normally comes, and we go over to the ground to have a bit of social time together and watch the rugby. And I was just, you know what I'd done? I'd had my tea, got everyone organized, and I'd laid out my new British Lions top, okay, to show support for Rory Best. Robbed. Guy was robbed. And so I'd laid that out in the bed, and I was just about finishing tea, went to put it on. Now I came down and I went to the place where my season ticket is. And Penny had thrown it out. So the current Mrs. Toogood is downstairs with the kids. I'm only joking. But we had that moment, you know, that moment of, oh my sweet mercy. And I'm trying, the kids looking at me going, I need to show some grace right here. But where's my pigging season ticket? And Penny was, oh, it's there. And then you know that moment where you're looking for something and you can tell the tension levels are rising and the stress is quite often evident between you, but you're being all Christian about it. It's okay, sweetheart. I'm sure it's here somewhere. Thinking, oh my Lord, how quick can you divorce today? What does that look like? And the truth of it is, it was in the recycling bin 2 weeks ago. So needless to say, I didn't get to the rugby on Friday night to watch them with a tremendous victory. Were you there? Ah, oh, flip me. Hope you. Oh, it was a great game. I watched it on BBC with Penny knitting beside me. And I have sent her, honestly, sweetheart, this is not how I saw this night turning out. You know what I mean? Knit, knit, knit. And then even her knitting was annoying me. Like, stop wriggling those, you know. But it was, you know, honestly, love, go downstairs and do that because I'm going to put one of those through your shoulder blades. Where's my season ticket? And anyway, I think I've got over it. Well, how do you think I'm doing? but you see, some days you have days where it's just like, oh my Lord. Now, listen, in the big scheme of things, that's not really important. Well, it is for me, not for you. You're thinking, you want to know what I've got to face, too good. But the point is this, what do you do in days of the journey when they're dark? Because it's fine to say at this point, I said last week, remember that whatever day you're living in, it's only a snapshot. Okay, it's just like taking a photograph. It's not the end of the journey. It's not your destination. Your destination is when we get to heaven and we stand before God, and that's us forever. But every day up until then, it is just a day of the journey. We dare not get into the mindset of going, we've arrived. Because once we think we're here, then we've lost it. Isn't that right? So what I want to do today is talk again into your individual circumstances. And there's an application that I believe is for you and for our church. So listen up, be encouraged, because time and time again, we see that the way God is going to deal with you this week is maybe not the way that you expected it. All right? So listen, and I hope that you're encouraged this morning, because what I'm finding more and more in my life is I have an expectancy that God deals with me one way, and he continually surprises me when he talks into my life that the way I want him to move and the way that he actually moves sometimes are at odds. And this morning, I want to speak to people who are having bad days. I want to speak to people whose lives at the minute are needing some hope. I want to speak to people who go, I know that I'm on a journey, but really this is difficult right now for me. What does Jesus say about that for you this morning? So turn up Matthew chapter 28 in your Bibles. I'm going to read through verses 1 through 20. And this is just before, in the book of Matthew, this is just before Jesus signs off in this whole book. So after the Sabbath, the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. So Jesus has been crucified. He was put into the tomb. This is Mary coming to the tomb. And what happens is this angel appears and rolls back the big rock that was covering up the front of the tomb. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, don't be afraid. I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead. And indeed, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you. So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came to him, took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. While they were going, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests everything that had happened. Those were the guards who were at the tomb. That's an important point. After the priests had assembled with the elders, they devised a plan to give a large sum of money to the soldiers. Hush money. They're trying to shut them up. Telling them, you must say his disciples came by night, stole him away while we were asleep. If this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So basically, the religious leaders are now bribing the guards who saw the angel appear from heaven. So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story is still told among the Jews to this day. Next. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, let's go back to the start of this story. Let me give you the context. Jesus is dead. In the minds of the disciples and all the people who had followed him for 3.5 years, his family who had known him for over 30 years, he's dead. These are people who had given everything to God. They had followed him to Jesus. They'd followed him and they'd given their whole lives. Now, I'm sure at this point, whenever Jesus is dead, in their minds, they're probably not full of faith. They're probably thinking, what about my future? Think about these disciples who had given up their livelihoods to follow Jesus. They had given up the family businesses. And they were probably thinking right now, you know what? I have no idea what I am going to do. They probably would have been hurt. They probably would have been confused, and they definitely were probably feeling scared. They were wondering, what has been the point of my life so far, and what is the future going to hold for me? Because it looked, for all intents and purposes, at this point of their journey, that God was absent. I don't know if you understand what that's like at times, to go through a day where you feel, actually, God, are you even here? Now, on top of that, you have the religious leaders and the guards. Let's just look at them. They're actually trying to keep a lid on what had happened. They knew what had happened, but they also knew that they would be in trouble because the pressure on, this is a really important point which I'm going to pull out, the pressure on the religious people was keep a lid on what Jesus is doing. Do you understand that? And so what they did was they plummeted to bribing the authorities of the day to keep a lid on the fact that an angel had appeared, that Jesus, who the authorities had killed 2 days before, was now risen. They were panicking. They knew that they would be in big diffs if they had actually murdered the Son of God. So they want to keep it quiet. They don't want to let anyone know. They knew the truth. They saw the angel. But these guys wanted to deny the fact that Jesus was alive. It would bring incredible hope, you see, to the followers of Jesus if they knew that he was actually alive. You know, I want to ask you this morning as I get into this. Have you ever experienced days, or are you walking through days right now, where maybe it's even longer than days, where you wonder where Jesus is? I'm going to speak really honestly today. I remember at times, you know, feeling, even in the recent past, God, I know that you're there. Jesus, I know that you love me, but you might as well be a million miles away in terms of anything else going on in my life right now. Where are you now? You see, sometimes on the journey, what the enemy tries to do, whether it's through your circumstances or whether it's through the religious people in your life or whether it's through whatever it happens to be, what he tries to do is deny the fact that there's a resurrected Jesus standing over your life, whether you feel like it or not. And I've had many days, and I'm sure you understand them too, where it's like, Jesus, I know that you're alive. I'm just really struggling to live that right now. You know what? That's okay. I want to tell you this morning that is okay. It's not okay to live there and stay there, but it's okay to have days like that. Why? Because you see here in verse 16, Jesus actually sees their doubt. When Jesus appears to them, these people are having a bad time. Jesus appears to them. They start to worship him, a bit like you were doing this morning probably, worshiping God. But Jesus could see past all of this into their hearts, and he saw doubt. It tells you that. Now, does that describe what your journey's even like this morning? I know at times many have, God, you're mighty to save, but I need to think about this, this, and this. I've got to think about my work, my money's up the scoot, I'm sick, I'm whatever. You're mighty to save. So we worship like this, but our hearts show doubt. These are details in the story for a really good reason. See, Jesus isn't bothered by it. Does it describe you? Is that what it's like on the journey? God, I know that today is just a snapshot, but this particular snapshot is not that easy for me. That's what life can be like at times. Now, here's the incredible thing. Even if you are standing worshiping God this morning and you know that at times that you still have doubt in your heart, God, will you see me through? Are you faithful? Can I really trust you? Will my child be healed? Will I be able to have children? Will I see a breakthrough in my finances? Will I be married? All of these kind of things that go through, because we can worship and still doubt at the same time. But you know what the thing is? The religious people will try to kill you for that. And God, Jesus, when he appeared right there, said, it's okay. It is okay. I'm just going to show you how to deal with that. So that's what he does in the rest of this story. And I'm going to go through that because it's a wee bit like a sandwich. There's three parts to it, all right? Jesus is going to give you a bit of like a BLT. You know, that's maybe four parts, isn't it? Bacon, lettuce, tomato, bread. Anyway, bits of bread and bit in the middle. You get me? So this, what does Jesus do? Now listen up, because this is what he's going to say to you this morning. And this is what he is saying to you this morning. On your journey, it's really important that on those days we don't look down when we feel discouraged. It's really important that we don't give in to those kind of feelings. And Jesus, actually, when he comes along to you this morning as a master encourager. He knows where to start, and it's not at the level of their fear, because that's not where Jesus addresses you first. You know, oftentimes when we feel really afraid, we think that what Jesus will do is come along to you and he will just massage you at the level of where you're feeling afraid. Actually, he doesn't do that all the time. There's times where we genuinely are anxious and afraid, and the word of God and the promise of God is fantastic as a countermeasure to the feelings of anxiety. But in terms of keeping enduring on the race and keeping enduring every day, he has a way better way of dealing with us, a way better plan, a way better way of understanding what we're like as people. He says, actually Paul, we think in Hebrews 12:2 wrote this, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. So the way that you're going to endure, if you're not enduring right now, do you know what the word's telling you? Your eyes are looking down and you're not keeping your eyes on Jesus. And you see it in Matthew 28 here. When he comes in to these guys' lives and they are afraid, they're having a dark day, he doesn't go there, there, there. Do you know what he does? He says, all authority has been given to me. Do you realize that's the way he's dealing with you today? He's saying, listen, you and your stuff is okay. I will deal with you and I will encourage you and I will love you. But really, the first thing he says when he meets them, all authority has been given to me. What is he doing? And what is he doing with you this morning? He's lifting you up. He's saying, your eyes are down here. Now look, I am here and all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Isn't that incredible? In Ephesians chapter 1, we read these verses, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, what are the inheritance of his saints, what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us, according to the working of his mighty power. What Jesus does first and foremost, this is the first bit of the sandwich. If you're having a dark day today, what he's saying to you is this. Look up and understand that the God that you serve and the Jesus who you sing to this morning, everything on the earth, below the earth, above the earth, around the earth, every situation, every circumstance, everything, every sickness, every disease is under the feet of Jesus today, and all authority has been given to him. It's the first stage of enduring, is to lift your eyes up off yourself and go, I'm fixing my eyes and I'm going to run with endurance looking at Jesus. Because that is what he does. In Romans 8, 35, 39, it talks about the incredible things that come into our lives, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. But it says this thing, that nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, here's the incredible thing. He doesn't say that we are exempt from trials. He doesn't say that we're exempt from distress. He doesn't say that you're exempt from persecution. It's all part of life. But what he does say is, if you will lift your eyes up when things seem to be crushing in around you, when situations seem impossible and you can't see your future, the first thing he says is, let me remind you that I am still king. I am on the throne. Everything that you're facing is under my feet. And if you're mine, you have that same authority this morning. Yes. Not there, 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 but remember who you are, men and women of Christ. With a new identity, a new purpose, a new calling, a new vision for who you're called to be. And for goodness sake, if you want to endure, lift your eyes up. Don't look down, look up. Yes. Why? Because all authority, that is the most comforting thing I can think of. You think about your life right now. Every little bit of it. And what does Jesus come along to you this morning? Go, there, there, there. He will love you and he will comfort you because he's a kind, loving father. But before you get the benefit of that, he says, look up. It's all under my feet. What are you worrying about? All authority has been given to me, says God. And you're mine. I'm going to unpack that next week. The only way that you can overcome, the only way that we'll endure is when we realize that Christ in us is greater and stronger than what you face in the world. I want to tell you this morning, and this is a reminder for some of us. For some of us, this is dusting down, realigning our thoughts, realigning our hearts to go, whatever I am battling right now, Jesus' word to me is, all authority has been given to me. All authority has been put under me. And the same authority that over every single work that the enemy tries to bring into your life, the authority flows from Christ to you to overcome. There's days where I've actually had to just pull on that so hard and say, Lord, you know what? Even if I do not believe it, I'm going to act like it is true. Even if I don't, but even if I stand and I worship you and I've got doubt in my heart, I know that your love and your grace says that's okay. You don't count it against me. And I'm going to, by an act of my will and my decision, choose to stop looking down and I'm going to choose to look up. Here's the thing. It's a wee bit like a policeman. You know that I am a big supporter of the police, okay? I love the PS and I think they do a fantastic job. And we need to pray for those in authority. And so, but sometimes, you know, with the new batch of PS and I officers, when they're, most of them look like 18, acne ridden, and they give them guns and they can stop you for doing 32 and a 30. You know, I have that kind of, does your mummy know you're out? You know what I mean? When their uniforms look like P1s in their first day, some of them, do you know what I mean? And I have lots of police friends, so I keep them going about this. But the point is, when a policeman gets up in the morning and he stands on the Hollywood Road, because they all stand on the Hollywood Road, and that hotbed of crime at the end of the Hollywood Road with their hairdryers. And I'm having a dig. And do you know what? The policeman doesn't really, if he gets up and doesn't feel like being a policeman that morning, it doesn't really matter. When we see the uniform, what do? We stop. Doesn't it give a monkeys if he's feeling very policey that morning or he's not feeling so policey? Isn't that right? When he gets up in the morning and he pulls on his uniform and he stands there with his hairdryer, you stop because you recognize that in that uniform, there's authority. Irrespective of how that policeman is feeling. I felt God say to me many times, you know what? Pull on your uniform every day as your identity as a son of Christ. That you are perfect, you are complete, that everything is under your feet. And you stand there because when darkness comes against you, irrespective of how you're feeling, it recognizes the authority of Jesus. It's not a good word. That is a good word. And your feelings and your thoughts, that's what he's saying. They worshipped him with doubt. That was not the point. Jesus lifts their head up again and goes, you've got authority. You've got authority. Some of us this morning have got to go, actually, these things that I'm battling, and I'm blah, 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 I need to understand that I have been given authority by Christ this morning to stand against all the things that come against me and to see them change. That's what it means when you're more than a conqueror in Christ, because actually that's just not nice stuff to sing. It means that you have actively got to change your situation by standing and lifting your head up and not looking down. In Luke 10, 17 to 19, I'll read it quickly. There's a bit where it says, the 70 returned with joy, saying, these are the guys that Jesus had sent out. Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. He said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, don't rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. I'm going to pull that in a wee minute. But what it basically said is this. What Jesus is saying is, you know, I believe figuratively, he's saying that every situation, if you felt like giving up, and there's times I know what that is like, of going, God, I've had enough. If you have felt like that, the antidote this morning, number one bit of the sandwich is look up. If you're looking down, God says, look up. All authority has been given to Christ and it's been put into you. Now, the truth of it is this. The devil doesn't want us to understand this. If he can keep you believing this morning that he is the one that has the power, that you're in a position of continually being on the back foot, that you're fighting all sorts of things and people and all the rest of it, you will give up. And as a church, we will give up. We'll lose sight of our purpose. I don't want to do that. Hosea 4:6 says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Well, you're getting some knowledge this morning that the authority that you have been given is not dependent on your performance. You can't earn it. It will not come. It will not go depending on how you're feeling. God has given you a gift this morning to be able to stand against every bit of darkness that comes into your life and say, I'm a son of God, this far and no further. See, once I found in my life over this last year, the balance of power coming back, and I use that word advisedly, from God, I'm on the defensive, to Jesus stepping into my life and going, Andrew, it's all under my feet. Now, what are you looking at? Man, things start to change. Not out there, in here. And when it changes in here, it'll change out there. Yeah. Many of us are trying to change out there, and no, we're not changing in here. I want to tell you this morning, look up. Look up. If you are looking down, and there's hard things. On Friday night, when Penny had disposed of my season ticket for Ulster Rugby, I decided to look up to the bigger picture of our 16 glorious years of marriage, the many children that she has given me, and the beautiful equilibrium that exists in our household normally. And that got me through the night. You know what was really funny, other than our knitting, just as a wee aside, you know when you've upset the other one, right? I don't know if it's like, your house is probably like the Waltons, okay? Ours is not. So you know that wee moment of about 40 minutes into the whole episode, match has started. Do you want a wee cup of tea, love? Do you know what? And you really do want a cup of tea, but you're so cross you can't say yes. No. Anyway, the point is, and so I said, yes, please go make me a cup of tea. That would be very sweet. And it was almost like my own pride had to let her off the hook. And I let her off the hook very quick. You know, but if you see her today, just please, have a wee bit of condemnation. Just keep it going. But the point is, you know, what I'm trying to communicate to you is this. When Jesus steps into your life, if you're finding things hard, God will comfort you. But before the comfort comes, I believe, the comfort comes not in the there. The comfort for your life comes in knowing who's in charge. That's what I'm trying to say. Where do you get comfort and peace and rest from? It's not the arms around the shoulder, first of all. It's this, take a step back and see the massiveness of your God. And the comfort then comes from knowing that you are who you are and whose you are. A son of the King, with authority to trample against every evil work that comes into your life. Do you see that? Let's get the order right. I've been really encouraged. Let me give you very quickly just the biblical bit of authority. I mean, I've got a teaching on it on the website if you want to go and check it out. But by definition in the Bible, exousia in Greek, to have authority means the right to control, the right to command, and the right to determine. Okay? So what God says to you this morning is whatever your situation, whatever it is, even with doubt in your heart, understand that you have the right to control, the right to command, and you have the right to determine the outcome. That's pretty mind-blowing. Do you get that? Does that lift anyone's head up this morning to go, whoa, hold on. I have been so on the back foot. I have been so looking in the wrong place. I have been looking down, thinking that this is the end of the journey. And God says, no, this is a day in the journey. Now look up and see me and understand that you have the right to control, command, and to bring about the kingdom of God in your life, which is peace and love and joy and all the rest of it that we know. Man, see, when I started to get that into my head, again, it was fantastic. What does he then say? Now this is, I've got about 10 minutes and I'm done. So we don't look down, okay? Here's something that continually is so countercultural to Northern Ireland, to the world, and to the West in general. But actually, it's one of the upside down things of the kingdom of God. Because not only, I think when we're left to our own devices, what happens in our stuff and on the journey, and God knows I've got this wrong more times than I've got it right. But what happens, and this is what God has sent to you today. Whenever I step into your life, I remind you not to look down. This is a point in the journey. Keep going. Look up and see who I am. But then, do you know what the other thing is? There's two parts of it. He comes into your life after Jesus has said, all authority has been given to me. There's a little word in the passage which is go, therefore. It's called aun. It's in Greek, O-U-N in Greek. It's a little tiny word, but it's incredible. Because you know what it actually means? If you do a word kind of study on it, Jesus says, I step into your life and I say, look up. And then he uses this little word, therefore, which means, let me connect the dots for you. That's literally what it means, therefore. Let me connect the dots. Let me show you how this all works. So when these disciples and these followers of Jesus are panicking about the future and not knowing, he steps in and he goes, let me remind you that you this morning, Valerie, you caught my eye, John, Chris, Karen, you this morning, as followers of Christ, have authority. Now lift your eyes up and keep them planted on Jesus. And then he says, go. Let me connect the dots for you. All this authority that I've put into your life is not just for you. He says, go and tell the world about it. Now, what is that about? I think Jesus understands us. In fact, I know he understands us way better than we know ourselves. And do you know what he's trying to do? He's saying, get a bigger vision for your life. Get a bigger view for what you're called for. Because not only do I want to see you break through and you've been given authority to trample against everything that comes against you, but after you, let me join the dots, it's for them out there too. And what he's trying to do is say, to be an overcomer and to endure, you need to have something more in your life than you. Does that make sense? And everything inside of me goes, no, God. I'm really hurt. I'm upset. I have wallowed in my own nonsense at times over this last year, going, God, you clearly don't understand how hurt I am, how hurt my family is. You know, it's ridiculous. See, when we get selfish, we get ridiculous. We lose all set. See, when you're looking down, perspective goes out the window. Doesn't it, really? It's like, honestly, sometimes, you know, we think that the world is kind of peripheral to us. In fact, the universe is, because our stuff is so massive. And God's going, no. I want you to understand that I've given you authority. And here's the second part of the jigsaw. If you really want to overcome, if you really want to endure, go past yourself, get beyond yourself, and tell the people in your world about the grace and the love of Jesus Christ. Isn't it funny that God himself, or Jesus himself at this point, with a group of people that he had done life with, chooses to speak into their lives something which probably was something they didn't want to hear? Probably terrified, thinking, hold on, what's going to happen with us? And he steps in at that point and says, remember, your life's not about you. Go therefore into all the world and make followers. That's what he says. He says, people are going to hell. They need to be rescued. So rather than allow dark days to be all-consuming, rather than allowing days in your journey where it's like, God, where are you, to be overwhelming you, what does he do? He reminds them of their identity, and then he reminds them of the purpose of their identity, which is to be men and women who reach the world with God's love. He doesn't say, sit back, wait until it passes. He doesn't say, batten down the hatches, fellas, and retreat and cuddle yourselves and get into holy huddles and, you know, sing songs and read books and don't ever do anything more than that. He does exactly the opposite of what religion and the devil wanted to do. Remember at the start of the story? Whenever Jesus is alive and he's new and he's conquered death and he's conquered hell, what did religion try to do? Don't tell anyone. Bribe the guards. Keep it all quiet. The devil comes against the purpose of God every time. And in your life, what does that look like? I'm afraid. I'm upset. I can't do. I'm not able. All the rest of it. And Jesus says, no, you've got authority. Now go. I have a feeling that the more we spend looking past ourselves and spending and pouring our lives into others, we are going to see much more of a breakthrough in our own life. We're going to get a sense of perspective on where we're at as a church, a sense of perspective on where we're at as a family, when we understand that the way to see a breakthrough in here is to understand who Jesus is, and then to, irrespective of your doubts and all the rest of it, go and tell the world. Isn't that, you know, I'm thinking, God, let me lick my wounds a wee bit. You know, let's have a few people around, a glass of wine, and we'll just, oh, it's just terrible. And God said, no. You're looking down. Look up, look out. Don't look down, look up, and then look out. Now, which bit of that are you stuck on right now? Which bit of it are you at? Are you looking down? It depends what day, Andrew. Well, I can look up. That's brilliant. Jesus didn't finish the chapter there. He says, all authority has been given to me, reminding him of the incredible work that he's done in their lives. Now go and go for it. You need both. We need to be a church. And in your life this week, I'm going to ask you and challenge you, to whatever is going on, you will have an opportunity this week, okay, every day to look up to God. First thing in the morning, last thing at night, all the way during the day, and remind yourself and encourage yourself and strengthen yourself in God. But also, as you do that, you're going to have an opportunity to look not just up, but also to look out. And I want to tell you, the breakthrough and everything that you're looking for is on the other side of looking up and looking out. And you go, but. No buts, it's got to be butter, folks, right? We've got to look up and look out. I think it's incredible. That's what Jesus said. It cuts through self. It cuts through discouragement. Whenever he goes, actually, all of this incredible stuff that I want to do in your life is so that you get a glimpse that you have an incredible purpose for your life. Every single one of you, whenever you go back to your jobs tomorrow, your families, your work, whatever it is, God is saying, look up and look out. The more you look at Jesus and what he's done for you, the more you get a sense in your heart and your spirit of you are called for something much greater. And what does the devil do? Comes in the dark days and says, keep a lid, deny that Jesus is alive. Don't let him do it. Don't let him do it. As a church, I kind of feel like, you know, we've probably had, at times, plenty of reason to feel like we can just sit back, you know, and lick our wounds for a number of months and do whatever. But you know what? That would be nothing more than selfishness and self-centeredness. Because when you have Jesus and everything, and a demonstration of his power and everything, what I'm continually finding is that Jesus puts in front of us the notion and the idea that there's something much bigger than just us. Our lives are actually completed and fulfilled, not in self-serving, but in Christ-serving. Now, that's a challenge because that means real life doing when you walk out of here today. But I promise you, it's a wee bit like, you know, for me, we're going on holiday in July. And so you're in that kind of, you know, we'll buy a copy of Men's Fitness and see if they've got like, eat your way to a healthy body in 3 days. You know, I'm kind of into that kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, I was talking to Penny about that before. Well, let's just call it ticket gate, okay? Because then we'll understand what that is. And I was going, Penny, you know, the truth of it is we're going away. It's going to be hot. And, you know, I love to get the Speedos out and just, you know, all that kind of stuff. And that's a bad image right there. And okay, back in the room. Don't go there because I'll just suck at it anyway. But and the point is the thought right now of going to the gym, the point of going to the gym actually just, you know, I'm kind of happy with my spare tire. I'm 39, I've got kids. You know what? You know, take me as you find me. Because actually the thought of the outcome is not enough to drive me on to go to the gym. It's just not enough. You know, Penny's going to love me anyway. She's just going to love more of me than what there should be. But she's going to love me. You know, and but there's things in my life that are really important. I don't want what, this week our Hope was sick for 5 days. You watch a 2.5-year-old vomiting every 15, 20 minutes. I get so angry, not with her, but it's sickness that robs me and robs my family. You know, it was one of those like 5 days and she's been totally wiped. And the thing for me was to go, now God, this is important to me. This is important. There's some things where you'll make a decision to go, not important enough. I can live with my belly. But when it comes to the health of my kids, this church stands as a community that says sickness is not from God. Sickness is not part of my inheritance in any shape, in any form. And so I've got to not look down. I've got to look up and look out. I've got to do that because on the other side of that, there is breakthrough for me, for my kids, for you, for your kids, and for all the people of this city and beyond. Yes. Amen. Yes. That's where I kind of feel like we're at. I want to give you this last promise. Last week I said, remember that the stakes are really high, what we're doing. But the last thing he says, and this is the third bit of the sandwich. So all he says is, all authority has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make followers. And he gives this incredible, incredible promise. And with 2 minutes, I'm done. He says, I will be with you. Notice, I've already said it, but notice the order of the way that Jesus addresses the issues in your life. Remember who I am. Remember what I called you for. Don't get all insular and da, da, da. And in the going, you find that the presence of God is with you. Notice he says, when you go and you make disciples, when you go and you live for a view bigger than you, when this week you make a decision to serve and love somebody rather than just yourself, what does Jesus say? Then I'm with you. He could have said that right at the very start. He could have said, I am with you. All authority has been given to me. Now go. The order is really key for me. He leaves it to the last thing. It's an incredible promise. Whenever you take steps in the middle of dark days, even with doubt in your heart, the real question that many of us ask is, oh God, if I do, if I step out, if I serve, if I give my life, if I prefer, of all of those things that you're asking me to do, if I really spend my life, you know, looking out beyond just me, will you really see me through? Let's be honest. Isn't that the doubt? And then we withdraw and we kind of go, I need to look after me and mine. So oftentimes we think, God, I want to give you my life. I want to go there for and make disciples and do all that kind of stuff. But will I suffer as a result? Let's be honest. Will I be on the rough end of this? Will I really be able to trust you? That's the real question that we ask. And that's why Jesus says at the last thing, no, I'm with you. It's incredible that the I there is healer, provider. I could show you the word ego in Greek. You put that into Hebrew. It's the word that he said, I am. All the names of God come from this word, I am with you. All right? It's a really cool thing. So whenever he says, I am with you, do you know what he was saying? Healer is with you. Provider is with you. Protector is with you. Your shield is with you. Your comforter is with you. Your forgiver is with you. Your strength is with you. Your encourager is with you. So don't be afraid. Come on. I think that's brilliant. God, there's no fear, there's no doubt, there's no condemnation from you. Whenever I keep my eyes on you, I look up, I start to look out, your promise is that you are with me. And you know what he says, just another wee detail just to throw it in, even to the very end of the age. That sounds really brilliant, till I die and go to glory. No, actually when you look at that in Greek, what it means is every second of every minute of every day of every week of every month. It's a word that encompasses every bit of your waking time. I am with you, healer, provider, strength, forgiver, renewal, and it keeps going. That's pretty cool. So, I want to encourage you this week. Don't look down, look up, look out, and know that he is looking over you. Look up and look out. You might be stuck on one of those. You might not be wanting to go to the other one. But in your life and in this church right now, that's what God is saying. His approach is different. He says, turn your life out, go and reach beyond yourself, and know that every second of every day that I am with you. Everything that you need provided for, everything that you search for already provided, and you find it in the going. That's a big challenge for me. Sometimes I love cozy church. Let's be honest, sometimes it's comfortable, and then sometimes actually awful. I have a feeling we're going to find more of this kingdom and more of the power of God when we look up